Welcome to the Blues Trail Revisited podcast. It's episode 27, and I'm Ted Reed. This show is sponsored by the Clarksdale Tourism Commission, Visit Clarksdale, and produced in partnership with the Blues Foundation. The Blues Trail Revisited podcast is an offshoot of a film I finished this year about my return to the Mississippi Delta to rediscover the places I first encountered 50 years ago. To see the film, just go to www.bluestrailrevisited.com.
So I went to Memphis, Tennessee. I won the IBC with a smile. Now I'm playing my guitar all over the world, and I'm known by the name of the Mississippi Blues Child.
This year, the Blues Foundation appointed a new president and CEO of the organization, Judith Black. Born and raised in Memphis, she's worked at the Memphis Brooks Museum of Art and the National Civil Rights Museum. Comes from a family where the blues was always at home. I talked with her just before the 2022 Blues Music Awards. Okay, I'm talking with Judith Black, who's the new president of the Blues Foundation in Memphis. Thanks for coming on the Blues Trail Revisited podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Ted. I'm glad to be here.
No, great. Before we jump into the big events that are coming up, let's talk a little about your background and how you came to be president of the Blues Foundation.
Okay, certainly. Well, actually, my background in preparation for this role, I'm sure, started when I was a kid. My father was pretty much a blues historian, at least in our household. He had a significant blues collection and a huge stereo system for the day. And we spent pretty much every day listening, if nothing else, listening to him listen to blues music. The other thing, though, so he was a historian, and therefore he wrote a lot about the history, and it was a passion of his to make sure that others knew the history of the blues. So he did a lot of writing, and he would bring people over and guests into our house, and we would sit back and listen to him give the history of the blues and the significance of it to his friends. My father passed away in 2016. He was 100 years old. So, of course, the history that he was providing was he pretty much lived. He was a sharecropper. His family was sharecroppers in Fayette County, Tennessee.
Right.
So, therefore, he very much lived the history and the stories that he provided and instilled in us. So listening to him, and we had a Victrola of all things. We had a Victrola, so we got an opportunity to listen to some of the older blues, because some of the older blues that we think as older were actually his contemporaries, when you think in terms of Bessie Smith and
right.
Ma Rainey and
right.
People like that. So we spent our days listening to him and listening to him talk to his friends and people that would come over. And he wrote a lot. And actually, when he learned that I could write, he had
okay.
me writing things for him.
Okay.
But when I went off to school, actually, my background, my degree is in journalism. And so that's when he figured, well, let me let her write some of this.
Okay.
But I, after graduating from college, I actually have worked in corporate and I've worked in nonprofit prior to coming to the Blues Foundation. My son is an NBA, an international basketball player, and we started a foundation for him, which is the Tariq Black Foundation,
okay.
Back in 2017. So for 5 years, I led his organization and actually started it from scratch. But prior to that, I have 15 years working at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital
mm-hmm.
as the director of communications, and 2 years at the National Civil Rights Museum in communications and marketing. And then 2 years, a couple of years with the Brooks Museum. So I bring that to the table, to the Blues Foundation. And then I actually was 7 years with International Paper. So I also have corporate experience and some other jobs along the way. I've worked in school system. I've worked in banking. And actually worked for the utility company in communications.
Wow.
So all of those things prepare me for coming into the Blues Foundation. And I guess the people that reached out to me to talk to me about the opportunity thought that they could utilize what I could bring to the table.
You have a lot of hats you've worn. And so imagine you've accumulated quite a bit of talent along the way.
I hope so. I feel that if nothing, I've seen a lot.
Right.
Some of that might become talent, but I've seen a lot along the way. And I'm also a Memphian. I have actually lived in Memphis most of my life. I spent a little time living in Atlanta and a little time living in Massachusetts. But Memphis is home. I was born here. I grew up here. I went to school here. And I've returned here. I've probably been back here now since I've returned for quite some time.
Wow. Okay. You certainly sound qualified. You know? Excellent. Do you have any plans yet to bring some changes to the foundation and its mission, or are you still sort of learning the ropes?
Well, both.
Yeah.
I am learning the ropes and hoping that the ideas that I have, I'll still have them 3 months from now. Because every day, of course, I see something and maybe some things about what I thought at first I may have modified, but
right.
A couple of things that I am really interested in doing with the Blues Foundation is that we talk about keeping the blues alive. And I've said that I know for people in our generation, keeping the blues alive is great and that's what we want to do. But I'm trying to bring in younger people and getting younger people interested, younger generations interested in the blues in some fashion.
Right.
And young people really probably aren't interested in organizations trying to keep something alive. They really wanted something already to be alive and lively. So
right.
I want to continue with what's been traditional because obviously we are the audience that has maintained and sustained the genre. I also want to offer ways and opportunities for younger generations and different audiences, not necessarily younger, but different audiences to explore and understand and embrace the blues. And it may not necessarily be listening audiences. Mm-hmm. There are audiences that I am looking forward to bringing in that may not necessarily want to listen to the blues, but appreciate the history and the anthropology behind the blues.
Right.
So, or how the history of the blues aligns with other cultures,
right,
and the struggles of other cultures, mm-hmm, and they're looking to study the blues. So I have some ideas in the back of my mind, and some other organizations I'm looking forward to working with that I've kind of started talking to, that we think in terms of the history and studying in the blues, and not necessarily they're here because they are just music fans, or that you'd hear blues in their car when they're driving,
right,
but they appreciate the history and want to take that history as they study history as a whole. The other is bringing younger generations in and allowing the music to evolve.
Yeah.
I think that what has happened, especially as I talk about my father being 100 years old, obviously what I grew up listening to was traditional blues. But as I have become more focused on the blues the last 3 months that I have been here, mm-hmm, I am being introduced to so many young artists,
yes,
and getting an opportunity to hear these young artists that I think younger generations have not heard these artists, to see that there is some forms of the blues that they may very well get into and be interested in. So what I want to do is to start bringing activities. I know we have the International Blues Challenge and the Blues Music Awards and,
yep,
the Blues Hall of Fame ceremony, and we have those events, and those are great events, and they bring thousands of people to Memphis, and want to keep those going.
Oh, yeah.
I want to add to those. I want to add other activities that bring other people and get other people engaged, and then tap into the people that do events around the city.
Right.
Because if you have younger people that do events around the city, they bring a following.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain people that, you know, if you find out so-and-so is doing something there, then I don't know what it is, but I'm going to come out there to see it.
Okay.
And that's how you bring in, I feel we bring in other audiences,
right,
younger people, go back to the schools, but not just the schools.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel like summer camps.
Right.
There's so many summer community organizations and programs during the summer when kids are not in school.
Right.
They're looking for ways to teach kids, to open up their eyes about new ideas and opportunities. I like to do things through the summer, not just blues in the schools, but blues in the camps, blues in the community centers, and find ways to engage kids and engage people, because I do believe with everything we do, as I said, I started another organization, and one of the philosophies for me is that you have to reach people where they are.
Yes.
And I think that I would like to see us enhance the way we meet people where they are. So looking to do those kinds of things as well. And then also, as I came into this organization, we talked about embracing minority groups and increasing diversity and inclusion.
Right.
And I think that is even beyond just the entertainment aspect, but also with the vendors and the other people that we do business with,
right,
in order to. So that has been a big focus for mine. I think we've probably increased a lot over the last 3 months, just the vendors that we are contracting to do business with on a day-to-day basis. So that, because the other thing that happens with that, they come in here, they do business with us, then they talk about what we do,
right,
in the community, and mm-hmm, they get, and that's an opportunity. That's free marketing, free advertising for them to, you know, I just finished a job at the Blue Foundation. Did you know it exists? Did you know what they do?
Right.
Have you ever been to the Hall of Fame?
Oh yeah.
That kind of thing. So those are some of the things that I'm looking to do and to expound on at this point.
Right. Oh, I agree completely. There's some great opportunities for some organic cross promotion, you know, that have not been, you know, exploited in the past or even investigated in the past. So I'm looking forward to what you come up with. This sounds very exciting.
But if you think I'm the problem, you won't have a problem when I'm gone. All these wasted years I've watched you tallying up the score.
You refuse to claim a work overtime to start a war. That's just the way you did me while you ran your car. Well, if you think I'm the problem, you won't have a problem when I'm gone.
This year, the VMAs and IBC are all sort of happening on the same week. Was that by design, or is it just because things got pushed back from January, it all happened then?
Well, as you know, around late December, we were seeing the Omicron virus variant was rising. And because there was a concern that people just did not want to be in group settings, in January, we made a decision to move it to May.
Right.
So that was by design, by COVID, that we made the transition from January to May this year.
Got it. Okay. It's just interesting because, Memphis in May is also a huge draw for people
yes.
from both in the city and outside of the city to come to town. And, you know, what better venue to have, you know, a celebration of the blues. I mean, it really it seems to be working out very positively, you know, so let's see how it actually works. Let's see how it actually goes.
And I think that's the one thing that's new for everyone when it comes to, I don't feel so new when it comes to the IBC being in May this year.
Right.
I believe everyone's looking to see what is going to be the difference in having and hosting this event in May versus hosting it in January.
Right. Right. No, the weather might be better.
Yeah, I think that's
at the very least.
Yes. Right. So it will be warmer and people and I do anticipate there will be far more people on Bill Street already.
Yeah.
Will give people an opportunity to see this go on.
I'm seeing a lot of pent up demand everywhere because I've been talking to the folks in Clarksdale, Mississippi about Juke Joint Festival, which is this weekend, and they're expecting, you know, a bigger crowd than they've ever had before, just because they haven't been able to do it for 3 years, pretty much.
And believe it or not, I think I mentioned that we reopened the museum day before yesterday on the 20th, and we received traffic coming through with people headed to the Juke Joint Festival.
Okay, part of the pilgrimage. Yeah.
Yes.
Give us ideas, some of the highlights. First of all, who are some of the bigger names that are going to the Hall of Fame this year?
Well, I think we have Little Willie John.
Right.
Johnny Taylor.
Mm.
Mary Catherine Alden. Right. Are some of those that I just know off the top of my head.
Right. And then the Blues Music Awards, I mean, this again is another thing that's been virtual for a couple of years, and now everybody's going to be able to get together again. It should be quite a party.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. This will be my first, and I have been told you can't wait for this to happen. So I am totally looking forward to it. I think, as I mentioned to you when we first started talking, I have not been involved in the production this year.
Right.
I have been more focused on getting the museum opened and just learning my role here.
Right.
So it'll be new for me to see, but from everything that I have seen and just knowing what I do know, mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a fabulous event.
Right.
I think people are going to are going to enjoy it. And just like you said, we have been locked up for 2 years now. So people are just going to be glad to, as I had mentioned in one of my president's letters, I think this is going to be a reunion, probably like the prom again.
Yeah.
Where people, you know, you haven't seen people forever.
Right, right.
And it seems like forever. And then we've been through so much, even though it's been 2 years and maybe not as long as you may have been separated because of the school reunion.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there's so much that has happened in those 2 years that I think that when people come back together, it is going to feel like a reunion. It's going to feel almost like prom night again.
Yeah.
Just to see each other again. And for the first time in 2 years, really, for many people, embrace people again.
Right.
Hug them again.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe not only will you have the program, but you will have this new sense of coming back together,
right,
and reuniting and seeing people that you just haven't seen for a while. And unfortunately, reminiscing and sharing memories of people that we've lost,
right,
over the last couple of years.
I know. That's a significant thing to keep in mind. One of the things that's great about International Blues Challenge is that Beale Street turns into one giant party. And, mm-hmm. you know, just people are all over the place and there's music coming out of every corner of the place. How much of this are you going to try to take in yourself?
Well, I have, I've been thinking about, I need to buy some Wheaties.
Yep.
Ready, you know.
Lots of coffee.
Right. Taking my vitamins, my coffee, and right. Looking through, you know, it's been so long since we've been wearing flat shoes and tennis shoes, so I got plenty of those over the last couple of years in order to be able to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to take in as much as I possibly can, because obviously this is new for me. And the one positive that I know right now for me is having all of this at one time happen right here with me being, well, about 4 months into the job when this happened.
Right.
I get a chance to see the entire thing and not have to wait almost a year between events in order to be able to see everything take place.
Exactly.
Now, when I look at all that's going to happen in between the 4th and the 9th,
right,
I keep telling myself, it's just 1 week. You'll make it.
Right. You can sleep later, right?
Right, yeah. You'll make it through this week.
Yeah.
You've done other things, you know.
Right.
So I think it's going to be a long week. It's going to be a challenging week. But from everything that I've heard from everyone, it's like, I just can't wait for you to experience this. Mm-hmm. I just can't wait for you to see it. Then this will put this whole position, this whole organization into perspective.
Right. Yeah. It'll give you a good idea of what it's all about. I'm of course looking forward to screening my film on Friday at mm-hmm. noon. Whether you can make it or not, that'd be great. But I would look forward to connecting with you at the Blues Music Awards or at the IBC. So let's just stay in touch. Okay.
Yes, please, too. Let's do that, Ted, because I look forward to it. I was looking over some details about the film, and I will get an opportunity to join you for the screening.
That would be excellent. All right, then. Judith, thank you so much for taking the time out on a very busy week in preparation to some major, major events. And you got some great ideas about what the foundation can do and what it can embrace. So looking forward to what you are able to accomplish in your presidency, okay?
Ted, it was great talking to you, and I have enjoyed it. And I look forward to meeting you in May and then maybe coming back and talking to you some more later on.
That would be excellent. All right. Thanks for being on the Blues Trail Revisited podcast. See you in Memphis.
Another one of those things.
I'd like to thank everyone for listening to the Blues Trail Revisited podcast in partnership with Visit Clarksdale. and with the Blues Foundation. You can watch the film that inspired this podcast by going to www.bluestrailrevisited.com. And you can find out a lot more about Clarksdale, Mississippi by going to visitclarksdale.com. Or download the app and check out all the cool interactive features. And for news and info about the Blues Foundation and the Blues Hall of Fame, go to blues.org. By the way, the Blues Trail Revisited soundtrack LP is now available at Clarksdale's Cathead store. You can get it online at cathead.biz. I'd like to shout out a special hello to the folks at Live from Clarksdale and Shared Experiences USA. They're still live streaming music from Clarksdale and organizing special Delta experiences. Check out their Facebook page or livefromclarksdale.com and sharedexperiencesusa.com. I'm Ted Reed, and to all you blues music fans out there, keep on hitting the blues trail. You never know what you're going to find. The Blues Trail Revisited podcast is produced by Ted Reed Productions. Field audio producer is Nolan Dean. Our editor is Jenna Labreck. And our project manager is Jamie Nice. Thanks for listening. Another one of those things.